Folks, welcome back to the iHealth channel, iHealth Radio. We do host Hurricane H, and we're going to be touching on a lot of stuff that affects health. And with me, I have a fellow podcaster, a wellness and neuroscience coach who helps people really live better lives. But she's incredible, because her story, just to start, is just a story that we need to hear, because it's not something you hear every day. And we're going to hear it from her mouth. And then we'll talk about her work and how she does. And we're going to touch on a lot of wellness stuff. So without any further ado, I have with me Sarah Wilson. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. I love your show. I actually just listened to the episode with Duncan. Duncan's a great guy. I've also interviewed him. It's so great to be here. I thank you so much for the opportunity.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I have a couple that are lined up. One is actually going right now live 7, and the other one, well, not live. I'm with you, but you know, it's simulated. Simulated live or something. That's how they refer to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that just airing, and it's fun stuff. Well, thank you for that. I mean, you know, listen, we were briefly talking before the show. It's the work is important that we do. I think it's sharing value with people, insights and expertise of real people who are out there. And it's up to the people to make choices and to take care of themselves.
100%.
That's all there is. Well, so Sarah, let's talk about you and your incredible, I mean, I would say life changing.
It's definitely, I don't want to sound cliche, but it was definitely a wake up call, and it was definitely a second chance to live my life better. Absolutely. So, you know, to make a long story long, 15 years old, diagnosed with type 1 diabetes after being kicked by a horse, had no idea that I had this disease. Luckily, as my mom calls it, divine intervention with the horse, or I probably would have never gone to the hospital. And, you know, I had injuries from the horse kick. And they were checking my blood sugar on the glucometer in the hospital. And the nurse thought that the glucometer was broken. It wouldn't register. Whatever my blood number was wouldn't register. So she disappears, comes back with a new one, still won't register. Apparently in the hospital that I was in, the glucometer only goes up to 500. So I was well over 500 of blood glucose. If you know what that is, you know, that's extreme danger, DKA, everything that you could possibly think of. And I was still walking around, and probably had been at this high of number for a very, very long time. So fast forward, I didn't have a lot of support. I'm 15. Who in their right mind at 15 is really paying attention to anything that's going on? Very rebellious. Didn't pay a whole lot of attention to, you know, checking my blood sugar, making sure that I was doing the right things, because I didn't really have a lot of education for it. You know, the nurse gives you an insulin, the syringe sends you on your way. We had a dietitian come and visit us, and to be nice, she wasn't the epitome of health, let's just say that. So I'm sitting there thinking, how am I supposed to take nutrition advice from somebody who doesn't look very nutritious, let's just say that. There was not a lot of education, and there was not a lot of education for my family. Fast forward, you know, I'm sure you've all heard of the movie Steel Magnolias, all of these horrible stories that you see where, you know, she dies in the movie because she decides to have a baby. So same thing, I was told, you shouldn't have children, not knowing that there was a way to get my body in optimal shape to have the children. I was able to have two children, both preeclamptic, and both had to be done by C-section. And then fast forward, I'm so grateful and so blessed I have these children. I put all of my effort and all of my soul into them and still neglected my own self-care. So fast forward 6 days before I turn 43 years old, and I have a massive heart attack. And it started, for those of you who live in snow, I'm sorry, I hate snow. I hate everything about snow. I hate everything that has to do with snow. And I apologize for that, but I just can't. So this was a Friday. I was actually outside shoveling the driveway because of snow. And I am a Southern California girl. We had moved to Colorado. I knew nothing about the lifestyle. Yeah, and I don't care to. We moved back to Southern California. But apparently it's a thing where they have this, it's actually known where after you shovel snow, people do suffer heart attacks. I didn't know that. So that was a Friday. By Sunday, I had no chest pain, no jaw pain, no back pain, no like nothing. It just like my pectoral muscles might have been like a little sore, but it wasn't painful. And I'm thinking, oh, that's because of the movements that I'm doing with the shuttle. And my oldest tells me, I want you to go get checked out. This is on Sunday. I just want you to go get checked out because it's easier for me to tell my brother and sister, you can go, you know, she mom's at the doctor versus have to explain why the firemen are coming through the house to resuscitate me, right? So thank God she said that to me. I drove myself to the hospital. The whole way to the hospital, I swear they're going to say, you crazy lady, you're having an anxiety attack or a panic attack. Just go home. We don't have time for you, is re really what I thought they were going to say. Check myself in. The emergency room's not that busy. Orderly comes to get me. Puts me, you know, with the EKG, and all of a sudden, all the blood drains out of his face. He, I
Oh
mean,
boy.
white as a ghost, right? I'm looking at the EKG, and I have some experience in this. My previous life, I was an EMT, so I sort of know how to read them. And if you're familiar, the normal EKG is the lines are going up and you're breathing fine. Mine were going under and very severely. So he disappears and comes back with about nine people. Strip me down. I have two IVs in me. They send me on. They basically tell me, and because nobody's saying anything. And so I'm like, what's happening? Ma'am, you're having a massive heart attack. And it's at that moment I'm laying there surreal, right? My children are home alone. My husband's in a different state. I am, you know, having all of these people ascend upon. It was like an outer body experience. Fast forward into recovery, and I'm laying there and I'm thinking to myself, this can't be it. This can't be my life. This can't be where it ends. Thankfully, by the grace of God, it was not. And to say that I'm grateful for the second chance is an understatement. And with that second chance, I learned that, you know, not to get nerded out on you for a minute, but let's talk statistics. One in three women suffer some sort of cardiovascular disease. One in three. Okay. One in three die. Okay. Those that are 20 years old and older that are women, 45% have some sort of cardiovascular disease. 45%. Nobody's talking about it. And it starts, unfortunately, it starts when we go into puberty. It carries over if we become a young woman and maybe want birth control or things like that. It becomes a compounded thing on our cardiovascular system that nobody tells us about. Into pregnancy, which also compounds the effects of cardiovascular disease, all the way into the word that I hate to say, but menopause. And all of these things are compounded that create more and more of a percentage of you have of women having cardiovascular disease. Incredible. Had no idea. And nobody's talking about it. Nobody's here. I was astounded. I was astounded that there was not, it wasn't readily available. Now, they do have the whole Red Heart thing, and the American Heart Association tries to get it out there. But if you're like me, I wasn't paying attention. You don't think that's going to affect you. But oh my gosh, it affects you incredibly much. I then go into cardiac rehab. And there was this program called the Ornish program. And I have no, this is just my experience. I don't have anything against doing the vegan diet. I just know for me, it was not, it did not help me. So this Ornish program pushes a lot of plant-based, a lot of vegan, a lot of, and again, that works for some people. It did not work for me. I ended up becoming severely anemic to the point where they wanted to do a blood transfusion. And all of these medications that they were giving me, which is the standard American cocktail for a heart attack, I fit none of these because I didn't have high blood pressure and I didn't have high cholesterol. So when they gave me the statin and the beta blocker, I'm dizzy and like passing out still because I shouldn't have been on those medications to begin with. So me being the nerd that I am, go down these deep rabbit holes trying to figure out what's happening, what's going on, try to myself, you know, be my health advocate, figure out what was going on. As soon as I was able to wean myself off the medication, as soon as I was able to get on a carnivore-based diet, things changed immensely, huge. I mean, we're talking, I was to the point of losing hair. I was gaining weight, all of these terrible things. to all of that flipped on its side. Now, again, I know a lot of people say they have good success with the vegan diet. I've talked to many on my show, and that's great for them. It did not work for me. So now I'm just trying to share my message with not only women, but everybody, and, you know, help where if it helps one person, that's what I want to do.
You know,
you're laughing.
I'm listening to your story, and you know, it is amazing that. Well, first of all, I want to say this. I mean, we're glad that you made it and that
you are out here
doing this stuff, because, hearing from you, it's not like it's a third party story. I mean, it is your story, and it's some. Unfortunately, it's a story that happens quite often that people know about. And so I'm going to go back a little bit to the beginning of things, right? I mean, first of all, your diabetes, right? That's what we refer to as juvenile diabetes, it starts with you and it stays with you. And some people eventually get that type one later on as they get in age. But if you start with it, I mean, you're already up in the worst scenario, which is you have to control this stuff. And by the way, that 500 mark, you're way up there. I mean, that's super high, and it can get you literally coma and all the stuff. But you were younger. So, I mean, I guess that worked to your benefit to a degree. But again, the risk is high, and it can affect all your other functions and so on. So gladly, you know, to hear that didn't do anything, and you worked your way, you know, to adulthood and made it, and you actually literally, I guess, conquered a lot of odds. Because you did have your kids, and you know, it was a difficult birth and all that, but you made it. But you did say something very unique that I think our audiences, you know, mine and yours, should literally, the world should be aware of, is the idea that you kind of took care of your family, but you kind of forgot about yourself. And I think that's a big problem that we all kind of do stuff like, you know, so we sacrifice for our families, our loved ones, through work, through hard stuff, and we get busy and we don't take care of ourselves. You know, in a lot of shows, we've had that repeat discussion about how in the plane you got to put the mask on before the others. And it's as a cliche as it gets, but
really,
that concept is real. If we don't take care of ourselves, we can't take care of anybody else. And we're not good to them anyways, because now we're a burden as opposed to, you know, an advantage to them and a great thing, right? So it is very difficult. And, you know, you don't realize these things until bad things happen. Now, in your case, you had no physical aspect to someone who is prone to a heart attack, meaning that you didn't have blood pressure, or like all the I guess the cliche again, or the known, you know,
the known symptoms. Yeah, exactly, and they always tell you lower back pain, jaw pain, arm pain, headaches. I had none of that. I had none of that.
I can tell you, I have attended. My best friend's brother and. You know, I mean, he's my best friend too, you know, and we were colleagues at a company, and actually I've seen him having a real heart attack. I mean, in front of me, and actually I called 911. We took him to the ER, you know, and called his brother, and we were on our way there. I mean, luckily this was in New York, and that ambulance, whatever happened, that ambulance had a doctor on it. They were just doing rounds. And so the doctor immediately is like, "You're having a heart attack, dude." The guy, now he had all the symptoms. The heart, the hand, the sweats. I mean, he was drenched with his sweat. So he had it. I mean, it was as clear. Yours was completely, you know, not as
nothing.
It was like almost a hidden symptoms. It was nothing until you were there, and you said it, the EKG, and you had the whole crash team there. So those are the people that show up with that red card and all the stuff. And yeah, they're scary when they walk into a room. And
it was so scary. Oh, it was surreal. It was sort of like I floated up out of my body, and I know a lot of people say this, but you're just not in it because all of this commotion is going around you, and you're like, now what do I do?
well, you know, it is a 50-50 shot for heart attacks. I mean, you know, I think that's what the statistic is. Most people, you know, 50% of people that get it, you know, don't make it. And you know, so you being in that position, I mean no one can imagine what that felt. I mean, you know what it felt, because as you said, there's a lot of people. What's going on? Am I good? I'm not good. You know, they wouldn't be here if it was light, right? It was really, and you can tell because they now said response team, you know, emergency response team, whatever they called them. They show up, and we got all these people, like, you know, they're popping you, they're x-ray and doing all this stuff. It is a, you know, and by the way, I've seen this also in front of me, because a couple of months ago, my mom was in the hospital, and she had, so they gave her like albuterol. to help shed pneumonia. And the Albuterol, one of the types of Albuterol has an effect where it gives you like palpitation, heart palpitations.
Oh, yeah.
And so she was like, so they asked, like, what's the pain? She's like, 8. And there, that was it. And then the next thing you know, the room was like, you know, it's
they
like
just
scared.
Sort of appear.
I mean, and yeah, there was just like everybody was like, and then we had doctors coming in, the x-rays moving in. I mean, it was just, I mean, I have to say the response team was awesome. I mean, in terms of what they were able to do and the capabilities at the time, they were ready to do all kinds of stuff. But it is scary to know that, you know, you're in that environment because you don't know what the next move is going to be or what's going to happen. So I mean, you know, again, I'm glad, I'm happy to have this discussion with you. And I know that your experience is touching a lot of lives because you said, you know, who knew that one of three women would be prone to something like this? Who knows that, you know, as you said, you didn't have the basic elements of what triggers, you know, heart, you know, cardio problem. You didn't have blood pressure, you didn't have any of the stuff. So these are some of the things that people would probably say, oh, well, you look healthy. You don't have any of this. And that's the thing. Now, I mean, actually, the show I referred to is talking about your genetics and genome, you know, science, whereby you can do these 360 yep. tests or whatever. You can see all your stuff to the, you know, molecular level. I mean, to the genome, you know, coding. It is different. I mean, things like this we didn't know about. You know, the more we do the research, you say you go down the rabbit holes.
I do.
The more we discover these things, and it's a whole world out there. Unfortunately, that world is not promoted enough. That world is not where, you know, people get their information. And if
it's
lucky,
one of my biggest frustrations, it really is, because, you know, I will say on one hand, you know, our emergency medicine in this country, bar none, is the best emergency medicine that you can have. We want those people on our side. But the maintenance of medicine in this country, we are missing the huge pieces of the root cause, you know, natural things that you can do, and just even nourishing our bodies with actual food, not needing medicine, not needing a pill for an ill prescribed every time we go into the doctor. And I wish for a day, you know, soon, that somehow we merge the conventional with what, you know, people call holistic or alternative. It shouldn't be such a, you know, voodoo word to say, because it actually is better for us to maintain what the most optimal health and homeostasis our body can have. Again, conventional medicine in emergency situation, absolutely, you want them on your side. But why is it, and I talked to many people who come on my show and they say, yeah, I went into my doctor and they wanted to, you know, did I smoke? Did I drink? All these things. But they don't ask, what's your diet like? What kind of exercise are you doing? They don't ask those things. They say, okay, here's, you know, a statin, or here, you know, your cholesterol is really high, and don't even get me started on that. Cholesterol numbers are completely wrong as far as I'm concerned. But they've scared everybody into thinking our body doesn't, we have to eliminate all this cholesterol, when actually we need cholesterol in our bodies and our brains. It actually covers the cells that could become, in Alzheimer's or dementia, the cholesterol protects it from that. So you have all of these elderly people that are on a statin that are getting rid of all their cholesterol, and then they're ending up having dementia, Alzheimer's, things like that. And nobody is making the connection of where that's coming from. And it's very frustrating. Again, I'm not a doctor. I do not say, get off your cholesterol medicine, but do your research, figure out what's right for you. Talk to your doctor, but I encourage you to go to a naturopath doctor. I encourage you to go to somebody who's going to look at the root problem and maybe have a better idea of what's going to help.
Bingo. That's the key word. The root cause of the problem. And the root cause of the problem is where we don't go back. I mean, we are more of a reactive world of healthcare. You know, when you're sick, or they refer to it also as sick care. When you're sick, we got it. We can fix you. We can mask the symptoms. We can get you something. And by the way, as you said, emergency-wise, we can fix people. We
absolutely
can, you know, and I think one of the discussions I had recently in one of the shows, it was beautiful because, yeah, you got 18 to 20% of, like, you know, of the doctors in the world, you know, that do like the intervention, the surgeries and things like that. They save lives. I mean, there's no doubt.
100%.
But then you have the remainder of the profession of medicine, which is more like diagnosis, symptoms, you know, and medication. And that's all there is. That's the new modern stuff. Now, obviously, as you said, and I love what you said, they don't talk about diet, because I have been told by doctors and by experts that it's not something that's being taught, you know, and maybe I'm wrong. I'm not sure. I haven't gotten to med
school. No, in fact, No, in fact, doctors on a whole, their whole education that they spend in medical school, they get an average of 4 hours of nutrition. 4 hours. That's it.
We rest our case here. I mean, four hours, I mean, it's not enough for anything. Right? I mean, it's like, someone says, I took, Spanish in high school and it was like 4 hours of basic Spanish. It's not going to be anything for you, right? And
Right.
that's the thing, now, by the way, I do want to preface this, is that not all doctors are made equal. There's a lot of doctors out there that are
Oh,
pro-nutrition
absolutely. And if when you
and
find a good one, hang on, because they do want to get to the root of the problem. They do want to help you. But my experience has not been that.
Well, I mean, without getting political, the problem is, I get the doctor's world, right? Because you go to med school for the right reasons. You want to help people. You want to do the right thing. But the more I've done this, over the last 5 years, the more I've discovered that, they're faced with a lot of stuff. First, the curriculum that is being taught to them is being taught in a particular design, and the science that's being given to them, unless they do their own research. Beyond what they're being taught is given for a person, perfect reason. And listen, I've been in insurance, and I used to work. I work with doctors, for 30 years. I'm always at their offices and stuff because we work with them. And I'm in the office. There's always a pharma rep. Now, that's the other thing. So the drugs are always being pushed on them in terms of like, well, this does this, this that that works. Now you talk about beta blockers, or the statins, right? Most of the people that are in the new world in terms of medicine, they know that those things are, they can mask things, but they're not really solving the problem. As you said, cholesterol, the numbers, as you said, in the 40s and 50s have changed, and it's not what the numbers are. I mean, all these measures that are there, there for a purpose because they can push medicine because of these things. And then, by the way, they work because they can prevent certain things. You can show some good results in your blood work, but is it really doing the right job? You can do it without them if you
Sure.
did it the natural way, or like, as you
Sure.
said, naturopathic, is medicine is existing for years, for centuries. Ayurveda. I mean, there's so many ways of achieving that. And I mean, now with social media, I think we hear a lot more of it. There's a whole different, I mean, number of people out there that, I mean, Barbara O'Neill, Dr. Barbara, she's known, I mean,
Yes,
as
I'm
one of the
yes.
big guys, talking about the nutrition and the herbs and all the stuff. And I mean, her stuff is real. When you check it out, it's not, it's not bogus stuff. It's really solid stuff. And there's a lot of doctors out there that are the same. And you
Exactly,
have
yeah.
dietitians, you have naturopaths, and there's a lot of, and I don't know why people are like this, like ours versus them. As you said, there should be a good merger. At the end of the day, if we really care about humanity and helping people, listen, when someone needs a doctor, they're going to need a doctor.
Sure.
But let's not, make it a, that's the thing, it's a profitable thing now. It's a business, right? We want people to come back. I mean, if doctors don't, if now, it's funny because on the insurance space we have it differently. At least one of the formulas of contracting with doctors is there is now what we call value based, where you actually work with them to make sure that the outcomes or the health outcomes that are being better, that's when they get incentivized. So that's one way, and that's actually the wave of the future. And there was an old model of what we call capitations, where you pay them a small number of dollars per month for every patient. So they don't want to be seeing the patient every month because they're not going to make a lot of money. So they want, if they maintain them well, that means they make money over time, but without having to see the patient. So there was some
That's
tricks.
great. That's wonderful
I
to
mean, there's some
hear.
tricks, yeah, but again, it depends on models and things like that. I mean, commercial versus, government programs, it's a little bit different. But there's some ways to kind of control these things. But at the end of the day, we're not doing enough. And you've
Right.
experienced it firsthand. So let's talk about, I mean, because your podcast is everything's messy.
Because everything is messy.
So let's make it not messy. How do we do that?
No, well, you can't. So my big pillar, and this is of all the people that I've spoken to on and off the show and just met everywhere, it's the point of finding your strength through whatever your mess is, because everybody's going to have a mess at some point in their life. Maybe not at the moment, maybe they already went through it, or maybe they're about to, whatever it is. But if they tell you it's not messy, they're lying. If you're looking at their Instagram posts and it's the perfect aesthetic and it's the perfect this, you're lying, because that's not life. It's messy. And at some point, my thing really is and has become it's okay to have that messy. It's okay to feel frustrated, sad, anger, whatever that is. But you kind of have to make yourself ride those emotional waves and sit in the mess. Because once you sit in the mess and take inventory and realize, first of all, you have to take the personal responsibility and accountability for how you got there. I absolutely had to do that laying in the hospital. That was something I needed to do. And look at, like we talked about, the self-care. You know, I actually became a better mom when I started taking care of myself. I wasn't crabby. I wasn't out of patience. I wasn't, you know, it was an idea of, wow, I can really just hang out with my kids. On top of, my kids became incredibly supportive. And I look at it now as they're watching me exercise, weightlift, do cardio exercises. They're watching me with my nutrition. And I hope that plants a seed somewhere to resonate with them to then carry on of why we need to be doing this starting at a very young age. So I think it's incredibly important, again, ride the waves, ride those emotions, don't suppress them. That's going to cause incredible amounts of stress. It'll come out in different ways, ways you wouldn't even imagine. Could lead to depression, addiction, just all of these different things. Don't sit in that mess and feel it. Doesn't feel good, but feel it. Then as you start to gain some perspective, move out of it, get out of it. And the biggest thing that I was able to grasp, not only trying to help myself, then be there for my family, is serving others. When you're in your low spot, when you're just, you know, you think this is it, I'm just the lowest that I can be, nothing, you know, what else is going to happen to me? When you go out and serve somebody else and have that mindset of serving, changes all your perspective, because I guarantee you, you find somebody that's got it worse off than you do, and it changes your whole perspective on your problems.
Well, I keep laughing at you. I love it. You know, this is the real stuff. I mean, really, you as real as it gets in terms of the message, because you're right. You know, people, you refer to Instagram. Everybody is the best in their behavior on Instagram or TikTok, right? You want to be seen as this perfect, you know, individual, but you know, no one is going to really post their, you know, when they're not having a good day. I mean, maybe some people do that. I mean, there's on TikTok, maybe it works that way because that's the hype. But on Instagram, all the posts are cheery, you know, dress, you're eating having a good time, you're chicken. You know, I mean, and it's amazing that is not the truth, you know, and it's all of us are the same. As you said, if someone is claiming that that's what they are, I think that there's a problem there. It's not the truth. The truth is that we have a lot of stuff in our lives. From our own personal, you know, scenario stuff, to our family, to surrounding, to work, to your entourage, our businesses, whatever. I mean, you know, it's not as simple. Nothing is this in this world is simple.
Right. So embrace it.
And that's a great message. Now, I know you do this. I mean, you invite people, you talk to them, and you've discovered a lot more probably throughout your talk show about how it is in the real world. And that's the thing. Like you said, the work you do and we do is, it's amazing because you learn. You are actually, yeah, but we might not have been to med school, nutrition and stuff, but we have the best experts that come on and talk about these things, and we are learning from them. And basically, we're just allowing other people to learn from them. And, you know, we are more aware now. Like, I mean, personally, I was not aware about a lot of things. As a matter of fact, 100%. I literally have this last year versus this year, I'm like a whole different person.
Yeah.
But when I go now to eat, I'm actually like, wow, where were my eyes and my brains? I mean, they were completely off, because I'm like, I can't really pinpoint something that's healthy when you go out there now as easy as you would think. Because, you know, I call it now synthetic food, because and true story, I have literally, I mentioned this a couple of times already. I have a hot dog from 4th of July in the fridge, and I have a Burger King, Junior Burger King, you know, an actual Whopper in the fridge right now. I'm actually testing how long that thing is going to last.
It's going to last forever. It's going to outlive all of the, you know,
I'm telling you, like you get fresh stuff, it dies. This stuff is not, I give it to my cats. They don't want it.
Yes.
You know, I mean, literally they look at it and they walk away, you know, so there's something wrong with our food and, you know, our nutrition. I love what you talked about, your experience when you were in rehab, cardio rehab. And just to be clear,
yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, because there could be a lot of things, but you know, they give you this I guess, vegetarian or vegan kind of, you know, kind of food stuff, you know, which, by the way, it does has merits. I mean, we do want that, the minerals and all the stuff, the fibers and things like that. You know, you want to have a diversified stuff. But there's a lot of, you know, different opinions about, or different schools of thoughts about carnivore diet versus, you know, vegan diet or vegetarian. At the end of the day, I think there is, you know, if it was in this world before us and it was designed in nature, I think it's all needed for us. It's there for
us. I would agree with that.
You know, so we want everything, right?
With the caveat of not an Impossible Burger. If there's ingredients in the things that you're eating, that it's, if you can't pronounce some of those things, like, there's no reason to be inputting that. And I will say, I've sort of swung, you know, I swang one way with vegan, and then I came all the way from carnivore, and now I'm more whole-based animal products and foods. And that's where you do get all of your nutrients. That's where you do get all your nutrition. That's so important. But the extreme side on either one, I'm going to say, again, you might feel great effects for a while. You might feel great effects for a while, but coming back to the center, like you said, there's, you know, minerals, amino acids, things that we need. Although I did recently discover, and I didn't know this, that bovine liver has vitamin C in it. And I didn't know that.
See, again, we learn.
We learn.
Well, but it's a beautiful thing, right? I mean, not only we do our own research, that's one thing, because we need to have the knowledge to be able to do these shows, but also the experts that we have, they're real, they're vetted out. I mean, these people are out there, they're talking, this is, you know, where, you know, they have the true credentials, you know, and again, this whole thing about food, I mean, we are what we eat. I mean, technically, right? That's what it is. We need, you know, and nature has provided everything. Now, the problem is, you said impossible. It is impossible because there's nothing there that's possible in that thing. It's all a bunch of mush stuff that is made for you that gives you the feel that you got a burger, but it's really vegetarian, but it's not vegetarian. How do you make that? And so, I mean, those are the things. Now, I mean, it is marketing too. You know, I mean, marketing is powerful, I have to say. I mean, they get you from the colors to the images to, and people, and listen, you hire actors to do this stuff. They get it paid. They're going to do it. I mean, that's what it is.
That's the way it works.
They're not looking at, like, I see, like, for example, I get sometimes, you know, opportunities to promote something. If I don't believe in the product, I'll never do it.
Right.
See, like, I'm not going to put something out that I think that it's going to be hurtful or stuff. You'll see me testing it or doing it myself, you know, that's how it is. So, I have to look at, you know, my mission and my message. That can be contradicting. But now you get an actor and that's what they do. They sell
that's
stuff.
That's their job. Yeah.
I mean, it is funny though, because the same industry, well, the same, you know, let me give an example. I mean, McDonald's is the one that comes up a lot, right? In a lot of discussions, you know, their fries in the 50s or the 40s or the 60s, and their fries today are completely different in ingredients.
Because they used to make their fries with beef tallow. They used to actually use beef tallow to make your fries. If you've ever used beef tallow to cook, it completely changes what it tastes. It's incredibly tasting. It tastes wonderful. And they went from beef tallow to seed oil.
All the bad oils, all the rancid stuff. Well, not even that. I mean, the list of ingredients is like unbelievable. I mean, it's a huge, and even between us and Europe, and, you know, and the, you know, a lot of our dietitians and food experts, you know, the food in Europe and the food here is completely different. I mean, you go to Japan, for example, that's a whole, you eat nutritious food. Right. We don't have nutritious food. You know, it's like you eat, but you eat calories and artificial colors and bad
it's
stuff.
It's terrible. How many times have you talked to, or I know I've talked to somebody who may suffer from celiac or even just gluten sensitivity, and they go overseas, they're able to enjoy bread and pasta and have no issues, but then they come back here and they can't eat any bread and pasta. Like, that tells you right there what's going on.
Well, we don't have to go there. If anyone is if everyone is traveling, right, you will immediately feel the difference in your gut. You go somewhere else, the food is rich, you know, you feel it. There is no, even the vegetables and stuff, I mean, the taste is much better and different. You're not going to find something that is kind of like, you know, not, I mean, sometimes you eat stuff that is not tasty. There's no taste to it. You know, I mean, unless you put salt and stuff, which is not good for you anyways. Now, that's one thing. Then you have the sugars and everything we have. I mean,
let's be clear though on the salt, because I get this question a lot. So yes, there are some people who do have a sodium intolerance, and those people do need to watch their salt intake. However, our bodies with the most of it is water, made up of water, right? So our bodies actually need salt. The salt is a carrier that actually takes the water and it can penetrate into the organs with the sodium. Again, the right kind of sodium, right? The problem becomes when you compact the sodium with the intake of sugar that you're having. And that's when you start to become having these problems. Again, not talking about the people who actually have a sodium issue. Those people need to be careful and, you know, do what their doctor tells them. But the standard human, you need salt to be the carrier to get the water into your muscles and your organs. And we talk about dehydration. That's a real issue. And honestly, if you just add a little salt to your water, you know, that's where the electrolytes come from. They drink the, you know, Gatorade and things like that. If you just put a little salt in your water, it's pretty much the same thing. I mean, minus the magnesium, potassium, things like that. But we need the salt. Our bodies need the salt.
You know, again, mentioned Barbara O'Neill earlier. I mean, you know, there's the Celtic salt, and she's big with that. And I mean, there's debates about sea salt and, you know, what kind of salt. I mean, if it's
naturally, where it comes from. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's all those things. I mean, you know, listen, it's amazing because I had this discussion, like I said, in the show that's airing. It's amazing because the industry, the food industry, you know, the science, I mean, they convert everything to science like it's an experiment. I mean, really, and we're just a big, I guess, pool of guinea pigs. I mean, that's
the mice. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, I mean, it's like we're in a test trial every day because, you know, like, it's funny. I'm sure you go to the movies, right? You know, I don't know. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't.
I'm trying to remember the last time I went to movies. It's been a bit.
So I was a big movie buff. Like, you know, my wife and I date night, you know, every Friday, you know, movie and dinner, right? And I did not realize that. I mean, now I am more aware. Like, you walk in there, you got the snacks, right? You know, it's all the bad stuff. Then the sugars. Yeah. Like, listen, I mean, I had a routine. Twizzlers, you know, the Milk Duds.
Wait, Red Vines or Twizzlers?
The Twizzlers.
Okay, not Red Vines. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
House divided. We have a few that like the Twizzlers and a few that like
I like the licorice ones, but that's not what they have in there. But they have like the cherry or the strawberries, whatever. But when you start analyzing, what is that? It's not food. Mm-mm. You know, like literally one day I was just sitting and eating. I mean, I know it's tasty, but there's no food here. There's no real food. I mean, what is it? I'm eating some gelatin, you know, substance that is frozen with sugar and colors. That's all I'm having. And you can go through the whole bag. It's like 500 calories or 600 calories.
No problem. No issue. And
no issue. But then, yep. But not only that, I didn't get nothing good. Now you're talking about diabetes. That's like, you know, that's like pushing your insulin resistance and all the stuff that whatever, you know, we can refer to it. You know, it's like, what the hell? And that's just one. I mean, like, and then you have the popcorn, you have the big gulp, you know, you get the nice little icy or whatever. I mean, now they made it a little better. They have, I'm back in this Coke and, you know, only the those things, right?
Right.
Now they have the Powerade. Now, even that, I mean, it's really not, you know.
You got to be careful. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you talk about, funny, you mentioned Gatorade, right? Now, I don't want to bash any brands, but you're right. I mean, yes, they might have electrolytes. But it's sugary.
It's sugar.
It's bad.
It's so bad. Again, and somebody who's a high-trained power athlete, absolutely they can down one of those things because they've just done some tremendous physical activity with that. But unless you are a high-trained extreme athlete, it's not going to help you any. It really isn't. And even I don't think in general, I mean, I don't know a lot of high-training athletes, but I don't think those are what they're drinking anyway, right? They're putting better stuff into their body. And I'll say one thing. You were talking about all this food you were consuming. I always ask people, how is it that you can sit down and eat a bag of potato chips or eat a thing of, or, you know, sleeve of Oreos, or, you know, when it's Girl Scout season, you can eat, like, how is it you can do that? But you can't sit down and eat two steaks. The reason is because the steak is satiating. It has all of these good nutrients and your body can only intake what it needs. And on the other side, it's not getting anything. So it continues to want an intake, not to mention the preservatives that tell our brains we need more and more and more. But I don't know. I mean, unless it's a food eating contest, I don't know many people that can sit down and eat two steaks. So ask yourself.
I love it. It's rich, right? It's real food. It's going to fill the appetite. I mean, it's got some fat to it. So that's what the keto is, right? You know, kind of fills you up and you feel good and you're done. You know, the other stuff is like, not only it's sweet. So that means you're going to drink more and you're going to feel like you want to eat more, and you're not getting any. And by the way, that stuff is fluff, so it's not filling your stomach. So you can eat two bags of chips and you still, your stomach's still empty. And I mean, and those things are, you know, addictive. I mean, literally you keep just munching and munching and munching. And again, you realize that. And that's the thing. I literally, I'm referring to that show I just mentioned, you know, we were talking about intermittent fasting and what it is and what's the best way to do it. I mean, I've had different discussions about like 3 days is a good time really to do, you know, water only. And that's to cleanse your body and get your stems, you know, kicking. But then this particular, I mean, my guest is awesome. I mean, do check out the show. He's really a scientist. I mean, he's a person like science. I mean, he breaks it down. And when he breaks it down, I mean, you're like, oh, wow. I mean, he clearly stated, I mean, we need a 24-hour window. And if you eat one meal, good, healthy meal, and you wait to the next day. And by the way, that's how our ancestors were.
Right. That's
you
exactly
know,
They
ate. They waited until they were hungry. They hunt again and they go eat again. We just eat. We have like a culture. We got to wake up. Breakfast time. I mean, people eat breakfast even if they're not hungry. It's lunchtime. It's noon. We got to have lunch.
Yep.
Who says you have to have lunch at noon? You know, oh, it's dinner time. You know, let's have a snack. And then in between, you're munching. You sit on your computer. And that's another problem we have today. People are sitting in front of their consoles.
Sedentary.
And they're just sitting there and blop, 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 eating, munching. And the more you snack in, you just keep getting more of that, right?
I don't think people realize how hurtful it is.
It is. Oh, it's a problem.
I don't think they realize. And if I can just say one thing, I think the other thing too is we've sort of conditioned ourselves to, you know, socially it's around, you know, we're breaking bread or we're having a cocktail or whatever. Now, I don't drink because of my insulin intake, but that's sort of been ingrained in us to do that. And that's all sugar, right? I mean, you had the gentleman on that spoke about that. That's all sugar. You have you know, the food, and then, oh, you know, it's a birthday, we're all going to have cake and ice cream. And then, so we're kind of all conditioned to take in these bad foods. And, you know, you look at places like France and other places where mealtime is a 3 or 4 hour endeavor because they eat slower, they're eating more satiating things, it takes them a while to get through it. Whereas here, we're eating in our car, getting onto our next activity, having to drive where, like, it's how we're conditioning.
You know, again, we have created a monster ourselves, you know, and the monster is, there is a reason for it. I mean, and we are also so hypnotized to it. That's the thing, the problem. So we're not seeing, I mean, I'm talking about that red pill and white, you know, and blue pill. I mean, the Matrix is always a good sample or example that we can share. We're just basically are not seeing. I mean, we're not seeing the truth. And when someone really opens your eyes to this stuff, like, damn. And by the way, reality hurts because you have to make some changes and drastic changes.
To.
Listen, my kids, I can show you my phone. I'm texting them. I'm sharing with them, you know, reels and stuff about stuff because they don't believe me. I'm like, guys, look, this is it. This is it. Coke. Like my daughter loves Coke. I'm like, it's not good for you. Listen, when I was a kid, I drank a lot of Coke, but I didn't know better.
Right.
You know,
I don't know what your daughter's activity level, but I know for me, you know, my kids' activity level is different unless it's a sporting event that they're in or something like that. But I don't know about you. I'm 45. We were out in the streets until the streetlights came on. Our parents didn't know where we were. We didn't have cell phones. We were in the hills. We were riding our bikes. We were doing we were constantly on the move. Couldn't wait for school to get out because we were moving, doing something. And now it's just different now. It just is.
It's amazing you said that because I was just having a discussion with a guy. And it was, we were laughing because he said, you know, we grew up where we were punished, you know, to get out of the house, out of the house. You know, what are you doing here? Now, I'm sorry. The opposite. We were punished because we didn't come home. You know, we were like so out, you know, like you're late. You show up. You got to go back, you know, to the house. Now you got to tell people like you got to be punished if you don't come out of the house or your room. I mean, people like my son has a dungeon. I mean. Literally dark.
My son does too.
Yeah, dark shades. I'm like, you know, it's really so dark in there.
Yeah,
and he's got his computer, and that's all he does. I'm like, dude, you got to get out now. He's a little bit in basketball, but it's not enough. But you're right. our intake was different. We sweat all day, we run all day, we were active. So your sugar intake was completely depleted in no time.
It still probably wasn't good for us, but at least we were burning it off. It didn't stay too long in our system. We were getting rid of it. That's why we were drinking the Tang and all the other bad stuff.
Oh, yeah, Tang, yeah. You went there. but here's the thing. I mean, even that, if you compare, but see, that's the thing. Even the ingredients then versus now are different. You know, when I literally, the taste of Coke, for example, when I was a kid, it's not the same taste. I don't know. It's changed. It's not the same. You know, I know that for a fact. I mean, my taste buds may have gotten older, but really, no. I know it's like this. There's not a same taste to it. And even when we go overseas, right? If you indulge in one of those beverages, they're different. Their taste level is different. I mean, obviously sweet and stuff, but it's not the same. So I don't know why we are not, you know, kind of looking at these things. I mean, I get the idea that it's money. Let's make it. I mean, as a matter of fact, maybe you and I, we can have a whole discussion about this. I want to literally invite people, and I think this is something for you, for your podcast. We need to hear from people, experts. You know, how do we change this in a very simple way? I mean, we can still make people and business profitable without hurting people. That's the thing. Like, you know, I was watching this reel about this girl. She's like, this is a gas station. You've probably seen it. A gas station that has all good organic stuff, which typically that's not what you get in a gas station.
No.
You know, so this was just an example. But like my thing, like a lot of people would be resistant to change because it's their livelihood, right? You open a supermarket, you have millions in it. You're not going to change because stuff. Now, even when you talk in Whole Foods and, you know, some of the more organic stuff, they still have stuff that is not really 100% organic. But what if we change things around and we can still be profitable, we can still do good. I mean, you're talking about a hot dog stands. I get it. I mean, it's a business, right? Someone who has a stand like that, that's what they make in living. But then do we know what the hot dogs are about?
What's in it? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. For the most part, I mean, we do know. Now we know. I mean, back in the days, nobody knew, but now we know. It's not good. You know, mm-hmm. That's what it is. And we made it. That's the other. We made it. Not only it's patriotic. I mean, if you don't have hot dogs, you know, in the holidays, right. Memorial, you know, Labor Day is coming back. I mean, you know, we will not be like, you know, like, what's wrong with you? You're American. You're supposed to do these things, right? You know, if you don't have the coleslaw, you know, the potato salads. And now you can make those things home. It's one thing.
The Jell-O with the Cool Whip, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, so those are like culturally, you know, must have, you know, things that like, you know, you got to have those. Those are staples, right? You know, why? You know, we just need to find, you know, a balance. We can do this together. And it's not about hurting the industry and stuff. We want to consume more, but let's just consume something healthier. What do you say about all the chemicals now in this stuff? What is your take on that?
Well, I would point you to the data and the statistics out there where the autoimmune conditions have grown exponentially in just the last 20 years. And, you know, you talk about rates of autism. I have one that's on the spectrum. You know, the vaccines that we have to intake, the preservatives that are out there. Like you were talking about your hot dog and your hamburger that's sitting in your fridge. You want to see how long it should last. It's going to outlast you. Ask yourself why. What is in it that's going to just sit there and, you know, nobody's going to want it. You said your cat does. Like there's a reason why. And these were not meant to consume the copious amounts of preservatives that are in there. Food isn't meant to have a shelf life for 3 months. That's not what it's meant to do. We need to switch back. And again, I know it's a financial issue. Obviously, organic food for some reason is so much more than what would not be non-organic. You know, they talk about the dirty dozen and make sure that at least if you can afford the 10 things that are, I think it's 12 now that are on the dirty dozen list, but bananas, apples, strawberries, blueberries, there's like a whole list of it that you want to try and buy organic because the rest of it is sprayed with the word that we're not allowed to use. But, you know, all of these incidents have gone quite, I don't want to get you canceled.
I know.
All of these things have gone up exponentially and it's all connected. It's all connected. And these poor parents that are having to deal with, you know, irritability, ADHD, all of these things. Now, I'm not saying that some aren't actual true cases. There are, and that's been proven. But a lot of it can be traced back to red dye number 40 and, you know, Blue Lake and all this kind of, and it's like, stop putting that in. And I'm all for balance. I am not going to have my kid singled out at a birthday party and not let her have the red juice. I'm not going to let my son have, you know, say, no, we can't have the blue punch, whatever. But if we could go back to moderation, and we can monitor these things at least in our homes and don't participate in that. So then when you do go out every once in a while and you can have those things, it's a treat or whatever. But my son, we recently just went somewhere and they had the Kool-Aid pouches, right? And I think, God, there's nothing but sugar in it. But I'm like, okay, sure, you can have one. He not only spit it out, it actually made him throw up because it was so sugary to him. And it was so, and again, I'm not saying, oh gosh, I have done a good job, but it's the point of our body's not meant to consume like this. It's just too much. And a lot of it comes back to the sugar and the preservatives. It's terrible.
Well, diabetes is rampant, right? It's big. I mean,
but no, even type one is an autoimmune deficiency. It's a disease where it affects your pancreas. You know, we can talk about epigenetics and how we can turn the good genes on and good off. And there's a product out there now called Tudka. It's supposed to be promising where if you're in the first stages of developing type one, you can take Tudka and it has some real promising results. There's also some other platelets, islets, things like that, that they're experimenting with. I think there was a boy in Ohio that was at the Cleveland Clinic and they did some sort of thing where it's going to prolong the onset of type one diabetes. So science is amazing. We've got a lot of things out there, but ask yourself, why has this instance gone up? Why has it gone up? You know, type two, yes, there's a metabolic imbalance, but it really can be solved with diet and exercise. Type one cannot. Your pancreas has stopped producing or produces minimal insulin. And so you need to take foreign insulin to offset that. Whereas somebody's with type two, again, yes, there are some that are type two that have to take insulin. And I understand it's severe. That goes back to insulin resistance, how long have they had the metabolic dysregulation and things like that. But a lot of times you hear these success stories all the time. They got in shape, they changed their diet, and now they're either off or minimally taking their medicine that they had to have before. Unfortunately, with type one, once it's full blown, it can't. Sorry, that's my insulin pump.
Oh, no worries. Well, so I, you know, it's amazing. You have been dealing with diabetes for ages, and you know, you've survived, you know, a lot of it, you know, and you maintain well, you controlling it, you know the triggers, you know what not to do, you know how you balance it. Not a lot of people do know that. And the problem is, like, listen, I know diabetes people who still indulge in sweets and everything more than they should. And you know, the problem that we have is that we are so, like you said, I love it. You said culturally, you got to go to places. You don't want to be singled out. But sometimes you got to say no. I mean, obviously for children, it's a little difficult. But for us, you know, as you get, you know, to adulthood, you don't have to indulge, you know, again, you know, we talked about our dear friend, you know, for the show that you just listened to. It's alcohol is a big deal. It's a cultural thing. We have to have it. It's part of celebration everywhere. But is it good for you? Really is not, right? And but yet we, if you tell, again, it's industries, it's bars, it's restaurants, it's this, a lot of opportunities, you know, are out there. And if you stop it, well, basically you're going to shut down a lot of, you know, opportunities or like income, you know, or breadwinning, you know, opportunities. So these are the things. So I think we do need to have maybe a collaboration worldwide where let's find a way to maybe switch from this to something healthier, different, better, and yet, you know, continue the business mode, you know, and the income and the revenue.
I love that.
Because I think that's what it is. At the end of the day, if we tell people, listen, you can still make the same profit, but not hurt yourself, hurt people. Who the hell is not going to want to do that, right? I mean, unless you have to be malicious, you know, in your heart.
There's a lot of evil people out there. But yes, I agree with that sentiment for sure. And I think there is a way it can be done. Now, I will say, you know, you have other stores popping up that are a little more holistic, but you also have to be careful with the ingredients are in there as well, because they've repackaged what, you know, maybe a bag of Doritos looks like, and it makes it look a little healthier, but it's really that bag of Doritos. So you just have to be careful, become an expert at reading labels, become an expert of what you're putting into your body, and is it good for you? What kind of benefit are you getting from it? And I think, again, I go back to, you have to take some personal responsibility and accountability. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, and I'm sorry, but it starts with us. And you know, you were talking about too, we have a lot of experts on our show and they're amazing. And yes, you should listen to the experts. But the one thing that you should take away is you are an expert in you. You know your body. And the more in tune you become with your body, and the more you, you know, chart or have, you know, track your small habits or whatever it is, you're going to become more and more of what you know your body needs. And that's where the power is. That certainly was my case. I took back my power being able to do that. And I was made fun of, right? I was tracking, you know, very minimal habits every day. We're talking maybe 1% gains in 3 or 4 months, but I'm telling you, those 1% gains after 2 years have made an impact. And I'm going to continue with those 1% gains. So in 5 years, they're going to make even bigger impact. And so again, though, that takes time. People don't want to mess with it. They don't want to be bothered. But the biggest thing I can say is our health, we take for granted until we don't have it. And I don't want people to get in that position and have to go through what I did. Take charge now. Take that responsibility now.
Well, thank you. And I love that message. It's a powerful one. And you're right. You know, if you don't make time for your health, you know, you're going to make time for your sickness, right? And
100%.
And that's not something you want, because, you know, you might get lucky to come back, you know, but many people don't get that luxury to come back into whatever shape they want. Sometimes it's too late. Now, ultimately, I do believe, and again, talking to some great experts, our body is resilient. It's designed to fix itself with given the right elements in the environment in due time. But we cannot destroy it to a point where we expect it to heal and
right.
And
right.
You know, so
but it can, even if you've done some damage. And I will tell you, your body's number one mission is to protect you. It loves you the most out of anything out there, because you can give it the right things and it'll be amazing for you. It will truly be amazing. But if you're abusing it, if you're not taking advantage of it, if you're neglecting it, then you're left with what's going to happen, as I was.
And it talks to us, right? You get pain, you know there's something missing, right? If you get some pain in your arm or whatever, you know, you got to check it out. I mean, there's definitely, you know, I did hear this literally, because I'm always looking and listening to these things, right? And one of the in the talk shows, somebody mentioned that if we take all the minerals and everything that we need that we designed to have on a day-to-day basis, you will not be in pain. You won't have any disease, because that's the problem. We're so deficient in so many ways, in so many levels. And so our body is really working at, you know, 10% or 5% of what it requires to function optimally. And so that's the problem. And finding the right combination of all these things is a difficult thing. I mean, from our gut to our system, to our blood, to our brain. You mentioned the brain and the cholesterol. I mean, you know, again, the show that's playing right now, you know, omega-3, the omegas, right? You know, and it's great for you. I mean, walnuts, right? I mean, who knew? I mean, it looks like a brain, right?
Brain food,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Brain food. I mean, there's so many things, but we just need to get in there. But I know you also mentioned something that you kind of alluded to about working out and movement and exercise. So let's talk about the importance of that, because I know that changed your life too, in terms of how you...
It absolutely did. It is life-changing. And I can't stress this enough, especially for women. Most men like to do it anyway. But, you know, I was one of those women who were told, oh, don't lift weights. You're going to bulk up. You don't want to look like you're on steroids, which is I'm here to say that's an absolute fallacy. You are not going to bulk up. You could, I mean, unless you're in the gym 8 hours a day, you know, throwing back that creatine, throwing back, and it's every day and you're pumping iron, you're not going to bulk up. You're not going to be, you're still going to have a feminine physique if that's what you desire. But the stuff that's happening on the inside with building that muscle. Now, again, you need both. You need cardio to work out your heart and work out your lungs. Those are very, very important. But overall, if I had to pick one, it would be the weightlifting, because the benefits that I have received from doing the weightlifting, and I will be honest, after my heart attack, I could lift a 3-pound dumbbell. That's all I could lift. So I started very, very, very small to now I can say I can deadlift 85 pounds, which for me is pretty impressive. Now, it took a long time. It didn't happen overnight, but you have to be able to do that. It protects your multiskeleton. It protects your organs. It protects you as a woman. You have to be able to have this strength. And okay, let's not get too into the woods, but look at the times that we're living in. We may or may not have to rescue ourselves when it comes down to it. And if you cannot push or pull your own body weight in a very crisis time, you're going to be in trouble. That is the absolute number one thing that you should be able to do in anything. I mean, I live in Southern California. We could have an earthquake. If something comes crumbling down, I need to be able to get out or whatever the situation is. But if I can't move, if I can't lift, I'm in trouble. And then that leads us to mobility and flexibility. And I want to be able to sit on the ground when I have grandchildren and play with my grandchildren. I want to be able to get up and down. The actual just exercise of standing up and down from the floor is said to have great results. But if you got to grab onto something and push yourself up and make, like, you're already behind, you need to sit, make sure you can boost yourself up with your own weight. And again, if you can't do a push-up or pull-up, wherever you're at, start that journey, because you have to be able to lift and pull your body. Bare minimum is the bare minimum. And my results have been mentally, physically, you know, the serotonins that are released, I'm happier, I'm excited, I have all of these things now that I want to get accomplished. I didn't have anything of that before. And so it's very, very important. And now that my daughters are watching me do this, they're like, I want to do it too. This is kind of cool. You know, and women must be lifting. You know, if you're out there in the social media world, there's plenty of women out there, older women that are doing all of this. You know, look at Dr. Tina, look at like all of these amazing women that are preaching this. There's a reason why. And they're the doctors, they're the experts. Listen to them. It's been an amazing journey. I want to continue on this journey. I hope to, you know, out rep my personal best at some point and do all of that good stuff. But it's, you know, again, balance. You have to, you know, have the fitness. You have to be able to move. You have to be able to exercise. But I will tell you, you cannot outrun a bad diet. So if you're not doing the things with nutrition that you need to be doing, you're not going to get the results you want with the exercise. Now, it's still probably good on the surface that you're moving, but if you're going home after your workout and eating tacos and Oreos or whatever you're doing, it's not the benefit that you want.
It's funny. I'm listening. You know, my wife has, she does virtual trainings and like, you know, she's an instructor. And so in our Fit and Fab, you know, channel, we do her shows and stuff. And, you know, one of the things that she gets all the time, like, well, I'm working out, but I'm not losing weight. I'm, you know, I don't know what's going on, you know, and then she tells people, like, what, I mean, you cannot, you, whatever we do here, it's not going to make a difference if you go in and just double up on all the stuff you do. And that's the thing. People don't get that one and the other are tight. You know, there's no, you have to know that if you're just, as you said, you can't outrun it. You know, if you're just eating junk and junk and junk and junk, I mean, your body is not processing, you know, fast enough, that stuff. That's the other thing, processing food and detoxification of the body is a big deal. That's what we refer to that intermittent, or the fasting in general, not intermittent, but real fasting. But the fact of the matter is your body needs to cleanse itself, you know, to be optimized, right? And to give you all that energy and everything you need. But if you're just doing 1 hour every other day of cardio or something, and maybe a little lightweight, that's not going to be enough. And I love what you said. And by the way, I had a whole show with Miss Universe, Miss, USA. And I mean, that girl is the real thing. I mean, she is bulky and stuff, but she coaches people. She trains people. You are not going to go to that extreme level unless you're really doing that mission.
Sure. If that's what you want. Sure. Exactly. It's possible, but it's not likely unless you're training at that level. And so a lot of women shy away from it. Oh, I don't want to have big arms. I promise you won't get the big arms.
It takes a lot. Trust me.
It takes a lot.
But I love what you said about your work, right? I mean, you're deadlifting more and you're enhancing your energy. You're better, you know, at a whole, you know, level. You talked about mental health. That's the thing. When you're not physical fit, you know, your mental is not fit either. I mean, you're going to have some impact on it. You're going to get stressed. You're going to be depressed. You're going to get all the bad stuff. And then your emotions are not going to be there. And you're not going to be looking good. You're not going to be feeling good. All that stuff is going to add up. Now you mentioned something that's, you know, talking about, you know, women specifically. You know, there is something called menopause for women. And, you know, we have something also.
I say that word.
Well, you know, we have one too, right? You know, we have the low T, or I refer to it as menopause. but the fact is, it's happening as we age. Is something that is necessary. We have
inevitable.
To, we either live or we don't. Now, if we live long, that means you age. And if you age, the question is, how do you age? Do you want, again, live with pain and you know, not happy, not able to make moves, or be able to be like, so, you know, I mean, I love some of the reels out there and some of the, you know, the folks out there, they put in some real content about, like, they show you, for example, two people at the same age. One is active versus one that is completely, you know, in a bed, a wheelchair and stuff. I mean, these are real. I mean, I have Madonna coming, not Madonna the singer, Madonna. She's an adult, you know, track racer. You know, she's a great, you know, athlete, and she's in 60s, I think, or late, you know,
that's
late
incredible.
60s or early 70s, and she's still doing stuff. And you know, we've had a show a couple of years ago. She's coming back in October. I mean, you know, I look up at her. I mean, like, damn, girl, you know, this is what we like to see. People are so active. Now, we don't ask people to do exactly what Madonna does or anybody else. But the fact is, we all have options and different things. You know, choose your formula, work, you know, whatever it is, but be active. Movement is key. And it's all the above. It's your detox. It's your diet. It's your good diet, combined diet. It's how you look at stuff. No junk. I mean, again, we're human. I get it. We get a little bit tempted for things that are out there, and you know, there's
sure.
No, you know.
Of course. No, and I think the biggest takeaway is, you know, looking up to Madonna and aspiring to be her, that's fantastic, you know, to be in that level, but you don't have to be in that level to be making true changes in your body. Meet yourself where you're at. And if that means that you can only lift the 3 pounds, start lifting the 3 pounds. Whatever your level is, meet yourself where you're at, because I promise you, if you stick with it and you keep those 1% gains, you're going to see a difference. You're going to. And don't quit, don't give up. And I always like to tell people, choose your heart. Right? It's going to be hard to get up and go to the gym or go to do a home workout or whatever it's going to be. I mean, there's thousands of videos out there available for free workouts. You can do that, or you can choose not to, but inevitably it's going to catch up to you one way or another. So choose what you want to live with. Choose your heart.
It's funny you said that, because we have them on the iHealth channel, right? And the Fitness Coach. And it's funny because when we go live and my wife is doing the classes, I mean, the feed is not as busy. You know, people are not interested in really doing an exercise with someone that is in the camera. They'd rather be with someone chatting and stuff like that. It's just like we're just a different, you know, I guess, human race today. You know, the good stuff for us, we don't value it as much as maybe something that is not as good, right? You know, it's a lot easier to spend 2 hours talking to someone than maybe doing an hour working on doing something that is valuable, that's going to be, you know, a good heart for now, as opposed to, you know, and that's going to make you stronger. It is what it is. But, you know, again, love the work you do. You know, hopefully we touch more people, more lives. You know, this discussion is just an open discussion about really being healthy overall, and just kind of like understanding where you are today. I mean, you are a true inspiration through your own struggles, the stories, you know.
I want to desperately scream it from the mountains that other people can do this too. I'm not special. I'm not any, like people can do this, and don't wait until you have the heart attack to do it.
Definitely not. By the way, you mentioned that's very true. You know, it is known, if anybody does the research, yes, snow, you know, when you shovel snow, there's a lot of people that just get heart attacks because you don't feel it, but it is. I mean, I shovel snow, I come in drenched to the house. I mean, I'm literally, you know, I mean, it's like,
so
I mean, literally you can squeeze that water out. I mean, it's nasty, but it's real. I mean, it's just how it is. And you feel the pain after the fact. Now, if your cardio is not up there, and even if it is, that's the thing. You don't have to have disease to have heart attack. You know, today more than ever, people are dropping with heart attacks from nowhere. No, there's no symptoms, nothing. They just have them, you know. So again, I don't know what the hell's going on, but something is up.
Something.
<know? laughs> but you know, so Sarah, your work. Now let's talk about, besides the podcast and the shows, I mean, you do stuff. You help people directly to make a difference. So let's talk about your current work and how you help people, and how can people join your I guess mission and work with you.
I appreciate that. And I'll make this quick. I know we're over time, but my mission is to help anyone who has either been newly diagnosed with type 1, maybe parents have a child who's been newly diagnosed, as we talked about juvenile diabetes. Maybe you've just been handed a diagnosis, you're 20, 21. You know, I didn't know a whole lot when I was 20. I don't know about you. I didn't have all the answers. To somebody who is maybe my age or older, who's been dealing with this disease for a very long time, you know, we don't get a break. There's no days off from type 1. You have to constantly monitor blood sugar, take insulin, count your calories. I saw a meme the other day on Instagram, and I think it was from Project November, which is a big sponsor for diabetes type 1. And they were saying, one person in their head was, should I have ice cream, yes or no? And then it showed a picture of the diabetic's head, and they were like, okay, if I calculate my insulin, this much bolus, and this was how much my blood sugar is, and that's literally what our brains are doing just to have one special treat, right? So it gets daunting and hard. And I want to be a beacon of light for people, because I know that it can bring you down. I know that it hurts. I know if you're a parent and you're just been handed this for your child, it can be devastating, but it's not a death sentence. And I want to teach people and help them and support them. We can work on this together. We can get you feeling great about it. Yes, it's life-changing. Yes, it's going to flip it on its butt, but we can give strategies and things to do with that. It's not a death sentence. You can be okay with it and go out and live what your dreams are. You know, we had two people that were in the Olympics that had type 1 diabetes. They had their CGMs. They were wearing them proudly on their arms. Like, one of them was a volleyball player, and I believe the other one was a shot putter. So you can go do what you want to do. It doesn't keep you from that. But I want to help you get on the right path with that. I want to encourage, support, and just let you know it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
Thank you. Well, so how can people work with you?
Right now, I have a website they can go to. It's brand new, going to be released. It's Everything's Messy Wellness. In there, it shows some coaching programs. I'd be happy to do a 30-minute discovery call with you. I also have lots of information on the podcast. I'm trying to get it out there. I've hit some bumps in the roads, as I'm sure you know, trying to do social media and get that website up. So it's there, but just be patient. I promise it will be 100% very, very soon. But you can email me, Sarah@everythingsmessy.com. I'd be happy to chat with you. Whatever I can do, however I can help, if it's just one person, that is my mission.
Well, it's a great mission. And you know what? You're doing it. You're helping people, and you're going to continue. And I know you're going to be successful. And, you know, I mean, it's, you know, I always enjoy when I hear, listen, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in this world. And you alluded to something that's interesting, that we don't know where this world is going. There's so much stuff going on. You talked about California. I mean, I think there were a couple of quakes, you know, recently.
Yep.
You know,
had one yesterday. Yep.
Yeah. So it, you never know. I mean, we had hurricanes. I mean, things are happening. You know, politics can be a little bit, you know, crazy as well. So, folks, you know, do the right thing. Let's help. And, you know, let's encourage anybody that's actually is there to help you. I mean, you know, you might not get the resources. And again, we are here with resources. You are a resource. So again, I congratulate you for the work you do. And, you know, I commend you. I support you. Anything I can do for my platform to help, you know, I will. And you know, I have your old website, I think, the everythingsmessy.com. That's the original.
And you can still get in contact with me there. I was told that Everything's Messy Wellness is live, but maybe it's not. I promise they are telling me that if it's not all there, it will be all there next week. So get in touch with me through the Everything's Messy, but the Everything's Messy Wellness will have all my coaching, Boca Discovery Call, all my podcast links will be there. And, you know, I really want to start a community of people. And again, I specifically speak to type ones, but if you're hurting, if you need somebody to just sit with you in the mess, I'd be happy to do that. I talk to people all the time that are not specific to type one that just have a mess. And I don't want you to feel alone in your mess. So reach out to me. We'll figure it out.
Have it. All right. So Sarah, I know we've exceeded our time, but it's all good.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, not at all. I don't hold anyone to the time, because this is valuable. I mean, you know, 5 more minutes can be life-changing to someone, right? So, let's, you know, any message that you just want to leave, you know, our audiences before we close the show?
Yes. Don't take your health for granted. Do something, even if it's one small thing. Take back your control. Don't feel powerless in this world that we've been handed with the food and, you know, the models and the things that are out there. take back your power, even if it's little by little. And then the other thing that I really would want to stress is, if you are not currently going through a mess, if you are on one of, you know, life's great highs, which that's great, but don't forget to reach back for the people that may be sitting in a mess. Bring them along, bring them up to your level if it's possible. Don't forget where you were, what might have happened. Remember to help those who might be sitting in a mess.
I'm not going to add to anything to that. That's great. Thank you so much, Sarah. It's being real. It's a great pleasure to
this
have you.
This has been amazing. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, listen, this is the end of the show, folks. So I hope you've enjoyed this discussion. Do check out, listen, share, please. And do reach out to Sarah's, you know, on her original website or the new one, Everything's Messy, Everything Messy Wellness.
That's correct. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So again, we'll have all the links in there for you. So we'll adapt it, or I'll adjust it when you have it, you know, live. But yeah, so this is it. We'll be talking soon. New day, new show. Yes. Topic, American Age. Bye for now.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.